But yeah, starting a new theme this morning called Burning Bright. So over the next few weeks, we'll be unpacking this and getting to know a bit more what this is about. But starting off this morning, anyone got a favourite roller coaster? You can shout out any favourite roller coasters. Anyone who loves roller coasters out there? The big one, the Big Dipper. I like the Big Dipper, yeah. Not as keen on the big one. Nemesis, that is a classic, Alton Towers. Anyone more? PlayStation, where's the PlayStation one? Who said PlayStation? Someone further back there. Where's the PlayStation one? Blackpool, okay, I've not been in that one. Excellent. Tron. Disney World. Okay. Yeah, so there's some of us will love roller coasters, some of us will not be as keen. My relationship with roller coasters is a bit up and down. Hey. But no, there's certain ones I kind of like, usually ones that I can feel secure in. Ones like the big one at Blackpool where you're just sat in a car and there's a little bar across you and it's going up pretty high. Not quite as keen on. But when I was younger, as most of you know, I grew up in the Northeast, so the theme park that we went to most of the time was Lightwater Valley. Has anyone been to Lightwater Valley? A few of you, yeah. So that was our kind of most common theme park we went to. And there's a roller coaster there. When I was younger, it was called the Rat. I think now it's changed. Now it's called Raptor Attack, apparently. Has anyone been on this roller coaster? No, I can't see any hands there. They want to. But this roller coaster was called the Rat when I went on it. And it was as though you were going into the sewer and going on this roller coaster. So you went in the entrance and it's all... Just wait. It's all like quite dark and mysterious. You go in there and it kind of going like underground towards this roller coaster. And you get on it, you sit in like a little rat carriage, and then you go in and you go into the roller coaster and it is completely pitch black as though you are underground. So you cannot see anything at all in the room. So you get on this roller coaster. I think I was about 8 or 9 when on this roller coaster and I was quite scared thinking, I don't know how big this roller coaster is. I don't know how high it's going really off the ground. I don't know how fast it's going. I don't know how big the drops are. I don't know if it's going left, right, whatever is going to happen on this roller coaster. And I got a bit worked up. I was thinking, what is it going to be like? The uncertainty of it, the confusion, maybe the unknown of going on this roller coaster made it quite scary and frightening for me. A couple of weeks ago, looking on YouTube, and I saw this video of this roller coaster now called Raptor Attack, and someone had ridden this roller coaster with the lights turned on. So I think they were like an engineer that had been testing the roller coaster out, and they'd filmed a video riding this roller coaster with the lights turned on, and you can see everything in the room. And this roller coaster looks like the most tamest, kind of smallest, bog-standard little roller coaster that you could go on. But with the lights turned off, it was completely different. When the lights were on, you can see how big the drops are. You can see it's not going very high at all. You can see it's not going very fast at all. You can see when the turns are coming, when it's going left, when it's going right. And with the lights turned on, it takes away any confusion, takes away any kind of misunderstanding, it takes away any uncertainty, and it brings complete understanding of what you are doing and what that roller coaster is all about. What I want to talk about this morning is that light brings understanding. When light is shone on certain things, when the lights are turned on in that room where the roller coaster is, you have a full understanding of what you are getting yourself into and what is happening. Understanding is having that whole picture. You know what is going on. You have all the different information maybe that you need. We think about our lives and the decisions we make. The more understanding we've got about something, often the better decisions we can make, can't we? A greater understanding, it helps us in our daily life. But light brings understanding for us all, doesn't it? This theme, Burning Bright, we're talking about how we're going to be a light in our world, how we're called to be a light in the dark world that is around us. But before we consider, before we think about going out into our world, how we're going to impact others, it starts with us knowing God for ourselves. It starts with our own relationship with Him. This morning I'm going to look at the chapter Psalm 119. I'm not going to read it for us all for obvious reasons, the longest chapter in the Bible, but Psalm 119, this great long chapter that we've got, is all about having a love, having a reverence, having a passion and a heart for God's word. There's just verse after verse after verse which talks about how much we love God's word and how important it is for us to read it in our lives. The verse I'm going to focus on is verse 105. So Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. God's word is that lamp for us. We should be using God's word as our source of understanding to shine for us on our path in our daily walk with him. Think about that roller coaster. You think about when that light is turned on, you can see what is coming next. You can see whether you're going left or right or up or down in that way. We think about reading God's word, that it might not give us the whole path, it may not give us all the answers that we're looking for, but God's word is the lamp that we need in our daily walk, that brings that understanding for our walk with him in our daily lives. So often we'll make decisions without having the full picture or all the information we'd want. Sometimes we have to decide maybe where we're going to eat somewhere and we've never been there before. We want to know maybe how much things cost. We want to know what's on the menu. We want to know all these different things. I struggle when you go into a restaurant and you don't know the portion sizes. You're kind of looking at the prices thinking, how much am I going to get for my money here? We want all the information, don't we, to have a greater understanding before we make choices in our lives. I remember when I was at high school, I think it was like a PSHE lesson, and some of you might have done a similar thing to this as well. But we had a computer program that you could go on and you'd put in answers to these questions and it would give you the ideal job for you in your future. So I remember not really knowing what I wanted to do or having a concrete idea what I wanted to be when I was older. So I thought, this is brilliant. I can answer these questions. It's going to give me the ideal job for me. It's going to be perfect. It'll be give me a great suggestion that I can do when I'm older. So I put all these answers in on this computer program. Kind of anticipated thinking, yeah, it's going to give me this great job. And what it came up with, no offense to anyone that does this job, a great job, but it really is not for me. As I mentioned, I'm not a massive fan of heights, but it came up with a TV aerial installation man. And I kind of thought, what answers did I put in that it suggested that for me? But with limited information, with limited knowledge, it's not really given a great decision or the right thing for me in that moment, isn't it? But as we dig into God's word, as we dig into that and who our God is, it gives us that greater understanding for our daily walk and our daily lives. It's God's word that we should be going to first in this way. We can look at all different things, can't we? We can follow our feelings, we can follow our guts, we can listen to experts in our world, we can listen to the media. But are we understanding and going to God's word for that understanding for our daily walk? So this morning I've got three things for us that were how God's word helps us, how God's word is a lamp for us in our daily lives. First one is it helps us understand who God is. Helps us understand who God is. Now, we're never going to fully understand our God. It's not a case of you've read the Bible once, now you understand God, job done. I think if God being God, we can never fully understand him and comprehend him, can we? But having that greater understanding of actually the character of God, the personality of God in our walk. J. John says that God's word is the most reliable information we have about him. It's the most reliable information we can have about our God. If we profess to be followers of Jesus, to be Christians, to have that faith in him, we've got to deepen our understanding of who our God is, haven't we? The Bible is often described as the story of God, that we look from Genesis through to Revelation, from creation right through to end times and what talks about in kind of what is coming to future in the afterlife and heaven and hell and things like that. That greater understanding, actually that whole picture as we read through the Bible, help and deepen our understanding of who God is. There's parts of the Bible that are difficult to read. Maybe we can think what is going on in there, what is God saying through this passage, but recognizing that different parts work together in that understanding God's word and who our God is. I think about stories in the Old Testament. There's a story in Genesis chapter 22 of Abraham when God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And we read that story as a standalone story and you think that is a bit of a tough story to read. That is a maybe odd story, we might think at times. But then we look later on in the New Testament, obviously the story of Jesus being sent to the cross to die and be sacrificed in that way. And just that whole understanding of the Bible, the more we read in that broad way across the Bible, helps us understand actually who our God is. The incredible way that it's knitted and woven together as God's word. Showing us maybe times where we don't have answers ourselves, or in the natural we can't think of what the answers might be, or struggling with our understanding. But God's word can show us in that way actually what is unseen in other times. You might be someone that's struggling with certain questions about your faith. It might be this going through a tough time when things don't seem to add up in that way. And it can be often easy to back away from God, can't it? To back away from spending time with him, from his word. But I encourage you to dig in to God's word. It's not just written for 2,000 years ago, but it is for us now. It's alive and active in our lives. That God wants to speak to us through it on that daily basis, that we can grow and broaden our understanding of who he is in that way. So firstly, God's word being a lamp gives us understanding to know who God is. Second thing is understanding of who we are created to be. Psalm 119, a few verses earlier on in this chapter, say, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn your heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." Those verses there, clearly so many kind of repeating in different ways how we should live out our lives, about obeying God's word. It says, teach me, it says, so that I can obey. Turn my heart, turn my eyes, preserve my life, at how we are responding to God's word, for us to obey it, for us to follow it, for us to apply it in our lives, helping us in that understanding of who we are created to be. Quite a number of years ago, me and my brother, when I was young, we were at one of our friends' house, staying over. It got to kind of 1 o'clock in the morning. We thought, let's have a game of hide and seek, as we do. So we'd had a game, thought we'd go and have a game of hide and seek. And this friend's house had four floors. The best place to hide was the loft. It was completely pitch black. So my turn to hide. I made my way up to the loft thinking this is the best place to hide. There's a lot of different things in there, a lot of stuff kind of scattered across the floor. So I thought it's good for kind of not being easy to find people as well. And on one of the walls, there was a wardrobe kind of in the middle of the wall, against the back of the wall in this room. And there was a lamp right next to the wardrobe. So I thought, this is a great place to hide. I'll go and stand in the corner next to this wardrobe and I'll put the lamp right in front of my face. So when someone's coming along and they'll feel the wardrobe, they'll feel the lamp and they'll kind of hopefully keep going and not realise I'm stood behind a lamp. So I hid in this place. My brother was coming around looking and trying to find, and he came into this room. I could hear him kind of coming up the stairs and coming through the door into that room, and it was completely pitch black. So I was trying to hold my breath as much as I could so he couldn't hear me breathing. He couldn't know where I was at all. And like I thought, he came across, he could hear his hands on the wardrobe, and he got next to me and he actually grabbed the lamp and kicked the lamp and kind of stumbled his way across and didn't realise I was there. But I could just hear him stumbling around in the room, kind of tripping over things, walking into things, kicking things in that way. And when we are in darkness, we stumble around, don't we? We look for the light switch, we look for something to help us see and understand our surroundings. Often in life, we can find ourselves a bit in that place, stumbling around in the dark, thinking, I'm not sure what is the right thing to do. It might be times when we feel like injustice has happened in our world, and we think, how do I respond to this? Or something painful's happened, and we're like, how do I respond? How do I act because of this? It's a bit of that fumbling around in the dark, isn't it? But use God's light as your lamp. I love how Beck Thomas shared a couple of weeks ago, and she talked about how we are designed to imitate the people around us. We're designed to take in the things that we see, the things that we hear, and reflect them, like act in the same way. It's incredible that God has designed us in that way. I think about the more time we read the Bible, the more we are going to imitate actually God's word and the way he is asking us to live. We don't spend our time stumbling around in the dark, but use God's word as your light. Use God's word to shine light for how he is calling you to live in that way. I want to encourage you to go a bit deeper in your Bible reading. Maybe it's some of you, I imagine there'll be a completely broad spectrum of people in here. Some of you may have not picked up a Bible in months or even years and read it at home. Some of you may read it for a great length of time each and every day. But I would encourage you to dig a bit deeper in your Bible reading and the way you read it and the way you spend time with God. That, like I say, it is the most reliable thing of how we are called to live, of our understanding of God, but how he is calling us to live as well. It can be times when we reach for it in emergency circumstances, or we're going through a specifically tough time, but in your daily walk, I encourage you to dig that bit deeper into God's word. Dig a bit deeper in understanding how he is calling us to live day by day. It's amazing how you can read the Bible and you kind of think of it might be something that might strike you or something that stands out to you, and it's exactly what you need in that moment. It might be that something you're struggling with or you're working through, but God's got a word for us in each and every season. God wants to speak to us through it each and every day. So God's word as a lamp helps us with an understanding of who God is, an understanding of who we are created to be, and thirdly, understanding how we are to influence the world around us. Great example of this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. These three chapters, Jesus talks about how we are to respond to our world. He talks about different elements of the law and how we are to live them out in this time. How we can influence the world as around us. How God's word is applied, often in a countercultural way. That there may be times when you're in your workplace or your neighborhood or even your families, things like that, and it is a great biblical kind of culture, the way that people speak to each other, the things that people talk about in that way. But there'll be often times when you need to be countercultural to the environment you're in. You may need to speak in a different way to the way that people around you are speaking about each other. God's word often calls us to be that, to be countercultural in how we live in. This sermon finishes with Jesus talking about the wise and the foolish builders. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27 says this. It's therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Sounds like our fireworks night. Yes, it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I want to think about this morning. What are we offering to our world? What are we offering to the people around us? Are we offering a house, something of stability and strength to the people around us? Or is it just something that's going to fade away and easily be knocked or blown away? If we apply God's word in our life, we can give something of a foundation, something of strength to the people in our world. We've got something to offer them, something that they can stand, they can hold on to themselves as well. God's word is not just for us in our own personal relationship with him, with our connection, or for our own personal growth, to grow us, to form us into the people God wants to be, but it's to impact the world around us as well. How Jesus calls us to live, to be that influence, to be maybe a person of strength at times, to be someone who can listen, who can share with the people around us in our world. How are you using God's word and your walk with him to impact the people in your world? Are you someone that's able to offer a house that is firm standing? Or would it be blown away easily? I encourage you to shine God's word on the different situations you face in your world. It might be things in the news that we hear about, kind of topics of conversation that people are discussing or talking about at different times. And we can think about these things and think, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know, have any answers. But I encourage you to shine God's word on these situations. What does God say about this? What does God say about the things that are happening? It might be things that are happening in politics or in the news, things like that that encourage you to dig into actually what God's word says about these things. Not just let the media or different political parties or political leaders be your source of understanding, but go to God's word first for that understanding. Let us not be people are stumbling around in the world kind of second guessing. Oh yeah, I think maybe this is the right thing. Or we're just taking a lead from others in our world. The people that take a lead, take initiative, be that light in our world and say, actually, I want to dig into God's word to get my own understanding of how God is calling us to respond in these times. One of the things we do as part of Bridge Academy, we've got a new year of kind of 16 to 18 year olds starting Bridge Academy last month. And as part of Academy, they will share, we call it a devotion, share a devotion with the rest of the group, which is basically them kind of something they've heard from God that they will communicate for kind of 3, 4, 5 minutes to the group. And there's one kind of tip, you could call it, that we will say to everyone at the start of the year of how we expect them to do this. Because the easy, natural thing can often be when people come to doing this, they'll think, I've got an idea, I want to talk about this, I want to talk about love, I want to talk about encouragement, or I want to talk about forgiveness. And they'll have these ideas, think, yeah, I want to talk about this, I want to say this, I want to say this. And then they go, oh yeah, I need a Bible verse in there to back up what I'm saying. And they'll think, oh, I'll find a Bible verse, I might Google one, for God so loved the world, yeah, that's a good one, I'll put that in there. So they'll talk about it all, go, yeah, talk about, well, we should love God, God says do this, and a Bible verse to back this up is John 3:16. But what we encourage the Academy guys to do is to start in God's word. I think we can often read the Bible or think about God's word in that way where we've got our thoughts, we've got our opinions, we've got our own ideas that have been formed over our experiences, over the different things we've been through. And we read the Bible to back up our ideas. We think, yeah, I want a Bible verse that backs up what I'm thinking. I want a Bible verse that backs up my point of view. But we should approach the Bible actually with an open mind, open hearts, saying, God, what do you want to say to me through reading your word? What is it you want to speak to me today as we read your word? And like we say to the Academy guys when they're preparing that, saying, read God's word. What is God saying to you through that? And then you share that with the rest of the group. But that's a great way, as we think about reading the Bible, let's never come thinking, how can I back up what I'm thinking? How can I find a Bible verse that backs me up or that gives me an excuse to act in that certain way? But actually read the Bible with an open heart, an open mind, saying, God, what are you wanting to say to me? I love the thought that people say you can read the Bible, but the Bible reads you. If you let it, if you let the Bible challenge you, if you let it correct you, if you let it sink into your life in an open way as you do that, as you're reading it, let the Bible read you. Let God speak to you. Let God's revelation be brought into your heart. The band would like to come up now. Thank you. That verse that I read, Psalm 119, 105, says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. This morning, I want you to consider the path that you are on. Consider your journey. Consider maybe your walk of faith. You might feel like you've been on the same path, heading in the same direction for a few weeks, a few months, maybe for a few years at a time. It may be what you've imagined it would be. It may be something completely different to what you thought or where you would be at this time. But the question maybe isn't, are you on the path that you expected? It's not merely about the direction that you were going in. The question I want to ask you this morning is it a well-lit path? Is your path lit by the Word of God? Is your walk close with Him? Is your walk shown and lit by God's Word and what you read in that? Is it growing as you understand more of who God is and who He has created you to be? Are you growing in these areas? Are you taking steps towards God in your relationship with Him? Are you gaining that understanding of who God is, of who He has created you to be, and how He's calling you to influence the world around us? If you'd like to stand, I'm just going to pray to close in a moment, but I just encourage you, for God's Word to be your lamp, to be the first thing you go to be maybe your daily, not routines, maybe the wrong word, but spend time daily in God's Word. Think about how actually you can dig a bit deeper into that, to grow in who God is, understanding that, grow in who He's created you to be. For us all, we can never impact the world in a powerful way unless we have that understanding of who actually our God is first. If we're close to Him, if we're spending time in His Word. God, I thank You for everyone in this room, anyone that's watching online as well, God. We thank You so much for Your Word, the incredible power, the incredible way that has been brought together. The great stories, the great times, great testimonies that are in there of actually who You are, of Your power, of Your miracles, God, of all You have done, all You are doing in and through our lives in this time, God. I pray for us all, Lord, that help us to, as we read Your words, to give us that understanding, to give us Your revelation, Lord, that we can have that greater understanding of who You are. We can have a greater understanding of who You've called us to be, Lord. And it will help us to influence the world around us in a powerful way, God. Help us be people that read Your word with open hearts, with open minds, with fresh eyes at times, God, to see and hear what You want to say to us, what You want to speak to us through it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.